Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey everybody, I am Pastor John Nuzzo. We are so glad to have you with us today in this service as we put God's word into your heart and watch God do something amazing in your life. Victory is one church in two locations, our Cranberry campus and our Newcastle campus, and for all the campuses all over the place right now with what's going on right now in our present distress as a nation. And I want to welcome any of you and all of you that may be guests. Maybe you're not a part of Victory, or maybe you're not a part of any church. It's my hope for you today and for everybody watching that God does something amazing in your life. He's alive. He's real. He wants to do something incredible in your life today. I pray you open your heart to Him. The message today is titled, No Retreat. No Retreat. I want you to understand what that means, how to live a life of no retreat, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, and including what we're going through as a nation. The word retreat simply means this, to withdraw from an enemy who has superior power. Let me say that again. The word retreat means to withdraw from an enemy that has superior power. There is no retreat in God's kingdom. And here's the reason why. There is no superior power to our God. I want to help you today to walk in that power. I want to help you today to have no retreat in you. Jesus said something incredible in the Gospel of Luke. Let me read it to you. Luke 9:62, Jesus said this, "No one who puts his hand to the plow," that means working for God, "who puts his hand to the plow and looks back or retreats is fit for service in the kingdom of God." What's Jesus saying? He said, you can't walk with a God that's moving forward if you're going backward. We walk with God. That means God is always advancing. There is no reverse gear in God. God never approaches anything to have a draw or just, okay, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. God always triumphs. He always advances. And if you're going to walk with Him intimately, there can be no retreat in you. You see, here's the reality for every person. When you walk with God by faith, there's no retreat in you. There's no reverse in you, just like there's not any in God. If you aren't wise, though, and if we aren't careful, in the middle of this pandemic, something very dangerous can happen to all of us. It can make us retreat. It can make us back off. It can make us say there is a power, there is someone, something greater than my God in my life. It can cause you to back up and to lay down your shield of faith, to lay down your trust and obedience to God in this season of your life. And it can open the door of fear, and that fear will want to govern the way you live. That fear will want to become your God. Remember this, faith in God demands allegiance to Him. We're told in Scripture to fight the good fight of faith. A good fight is the one you win. We're in a battle as Christians. And I don't just mean this present situation. You are in a spiritual battle every day of your life. And we do not retreat, not because it's something that we're told not to do, but because God's for you, because your Heavenly Father loves you. In fact, the book of Romans says, if God be for you, who then is powerful enough to stand against you? We do not withdraw from an enemy of inferior power. And here's the other side of that coin. Fear, it demands an allegiance. It demands an allegiance to the circumstances around you. It demands an allegiance to your feelings. It demands an allegiance to people, to men, to mankind, and their power. And not just men and women in general, but fear demands that you become, if you will, form an allegiance with your own abilities, your own power, your own resources, and where they stop, and where you realize I can't fix or whatever you want or trying to deal with, fear becomes your next step. Fear demands allegiance. Faith demands allegiance. But if we're not careful in this season that we live, something very dangerous can happen to us. Now, I'm going to say something, and I want to qualify it. In the next 5 minutes, I'm going to say some things that if you don't put it in context, you can mishear me. I'm about to say some things that I want you to realize I'm not judging any people in this environment, in these two areas. I'm not judging them. I'm not judging their motives. And let me talk to you about the media and the government, because these are two groups that thrive off of allegiance. And if you're not careful, right now, as a child of God, as a person, you can give your allegiance to those two entities. Now, again, I'm not judging their motives. Well, maybe the media. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. Bad pastor, but anyway. But I'm not judging anybody's motives, but I am telling you this, that I just saw a report this week that there was a study out of Harvard that said that we should be social distancing like we are to the year 2022. That's nuts. That's crazy. And you see, but the reason these two entities thrive off of your allegiance is they need them to continue. Now, I think it's safe to say that the media itself is a for-profit entity. And so the more that you can be afraid, the more they can become your resource, the more you need them. Now, I'm not judging again all of their motives. I'm simply telling you that right now, you better be careful who you choose to trust in any area of your life, let alone in the middle of this pandemic. Government and media will become something to you whether they want to or not. This can very easily happen. They can be the entities that will then give you permission to be able to live your life. When they give you the all clear, then you can feel safe. I don't care how effective and how good their motives are. No human being can give that to you. They can become your provider. The government makes a lousy provider. It's proven that time and time again. They will be your protector. We'll tell you how to stay safe. Now, please don't mishear this. I'm not saying you should disobey the practical things of social distancing. I get that. I'm not an anarchist. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking to you about having no retreat. I'm talking to you about who's the governing factor of your life. And if you're not careful, the media, even those in government, they can become your God. Just this past week, the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, said something that is, in context, absolutely fine. He was trying to encourage people to continue the practices of social distancing. But in his statement, and this is a public statement, it's not a criticism, it's a public statement that he made on several occasions in different forms. He said something that I want you to read between the lines, because the media and the government both need your allegiance to continue. Every politician, by design, needs your allegiance to be reelected or to go to the next place of office that they're hoping for. I want you to listen to what the governor said, and I want to speak to it because it's no small thing what he said. He said in New York City, which is the epicenter right now in the U.S. for coronavirus infections and deaths, and it's a tragic situation. He said the number of infections are down because we brought the number down. Now listen to this. He said God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Our behavior has stopped the spread of the virus. We changed the trajectory of the virus by our actions, and that's the real important lesson to me. Now, again, let me qualify this. He's absolutely right. People needed to make good decisions, and those good decisions had a good outcome, and I'm not diminishing that. But what I want you to see is that subtlety. God did not do this. We did this. I am your fearless leader. Give your allegiance to me. Do what I tell you to do, and I will protect you. As wonderful as his motives may be, you have to be out of your mind to trust a human being in the middle of a pandemic with your safety. For a government official to get up and say, God, you're not involved in this. We'll take care of it without you. That's such a clarity of what's happening in our time right now. And you have to be careful as a Christian, not to be critical, not put anybody down. Because in a battle, you have to determine who you're going to trust. In a battle, and you're in one right now, in this environment we're living in, but in every day you're in a spiritual battle, you have to determine to whom you're going to give ultimate trust to in the middle of the battles of life. Now, I'm going to say something again that's going to sound very critical, and please don't stop in the middle of this because you'll hear me say something I'm ultimately not saying. I don't trust the government. I don't trust President Trump. I don't trust the Congress. I don't trust the senators. I don't trust the governors. I don't trust government, period. I don't trust the media. Yeah, that's an easy one. That's like a setup for a bad joke. I'll leave it there. I don't trust the profit-driven media. How about this? I don't trust you in the middle. I don't trust you to be my resource. How about this one? I don't even trust me. You have to make a decision as a Christian. It's not saying these other things can't be valuable in your life. They can't be. They cannot be where you place your trust. They cannot be where you say, I'm moving forward. I won't retreat or I'll advance. You've got to have a relationship with God where Jesus is the one in whom you put trust. Not as well-meaning as government may be, as well-meaning, doubtful that the media may be, as well-meaning as you may be or I may be. You can't trust human beings that are flesh. You can't. It's unwise, but you can trust a living God. You can trust a God that loved you so much that he died for you. Trusting Jesus. Now, you know, sometimes we have a picture of Jesus that's skewed because he is God and he exists. He existed in eternity past and he will exist in eternity future. He always was, he always will be, but there was a 33-to-4-year period of time that he became human flesh and took on a human body so that he could suffer the penalty of my sin, so that he could suffer the penalty of your sin. And very often when people think of Jesus, they see him as that suffering Messiah, of which he absolutely was. And I'm so grateful that he paid the debt that I could never pay, that he paid your sin debt, that he paid my debt. But I want you to understand Jesus is the Son of the living God. He is one with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he is a conquering king. There is nothing and there is no power greater than our God. None. There is no power superior to him. When you get to the book of Revelation, it shows you a picture of Jesus when he returns. Now, the book of Revelation, that's a rough book because that's when the judgment of God comes upon those who have rejected Christ. And it is not a good day, and I'm glad I won't be here for it. Neither will you if you're a child of God, but that's a subject for another day. Let me read to you who this Jesus is that we trust. The Jesus that we put our ultimate trust in, the one that we obey, the one that we follow, the one that has no retreat in him, the one that said, if you're going to walk with me, you cannot retreat, you cannot look back, because when you do, you aren't fit to walk with me in my kingdom, because I'm moving one way, you're moving the other. Faith is deciding to move with God without permission from how you feel, your circumstances, or human beings. Listen to what the scripture said about the Son of God. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, this is who he is. John saw a vision and he said these words. He said, then I saw the heaven open up and a white horse was standing there. Its rider, Jesus, was named Faithful and True. And he judges fairly and he wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire. That's who he is. And on his head were many crowns. He is the king. And a name was written on him that no one understood except for himself. And then he wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. Let me stop for a moment there. Jesus, at this time of judgment, which is coming upon the earth at some point, he said he wears a robe, a white robe, but it's dipped in blood. That blood is his own. And the judgment that is coming because he shed blood for the very people that rejected him. You see, the wrath of God is upon all humanity unless that wrath is settled and accounted for and paid for. Jesus is saying, I bore your sin. I bore the wrath of God against sin. And I literally, he comes showing his very own bloodshed. And he's about to pass judgment on those who've rejected his life and rejected his blood. And his title was the Word of God. And then the armies of heaven were dressed in the finest of pure white linen. They followed him on white horses. And from his mouth, a sharp sword to strike down the nations came out. And he will rule over them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God the Almighty like juices flowing from a wine press. And on his robe, on his thigh, was written these words and this title: King of Kings, King of all kings, and Lord of all lords. That's who he is. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. The word Lord means authority. He is the authority above all authorities. He is the authority above all authorities. And as a Christian, that's the one in whom you put your trust. I want to take you back to the days of the early church, a group of people that absolutely knew no retreat. They realized there is no superior power to their God. After Jesus ascended and the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, something began to happen. A persecution began to happen. They began to preach the gospel. And when they were preaching, they were all arrested. In fact, all of the apostles were arrested. And yet they chose not to retreat. And when they were arrested, let me show you what happened in Acts chapter 5, verse 27. I want you to see that there was a place where you yield to the authorities around you. And then there was a place where you say, let God be true and every man a liar. In Acts 5, 27, having arrested the apostles, they made them to appear before the Sanhedrin. That was the council that led the Jewish nation. To appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. And here's what they told them. We gave you strict orders not to teach in the name of Jesus. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with this teaching. And you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied this. We must and will obey God rather than men. Let me say that again. We must obey God rather than men. See, we are called to respect the authorities in government situations. We really are. The Bible teaches you to do that. Until those authorities tell you to disobey the King of all kings, the authority of all authorities, no one will govern your life as a Christian or should, other than the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And then they were beaten, the Bible said, with 39 stripes, each one of them. And then they were let go. I want you to see what they did after just having been beaten in Acts 5, verse 42. Then day after day, right in the temple courts, not in a corner, not in a bushel, not in retreat, they went right back into the temple courts, right where those who beat them actually stayed and had observation. They went right back into the temple courts and then from house to house, and they never stopped. They never stopped. They never stopped. They never stopped. Listen to me. You're a believer. You walk with God. You have no retreat. They never, never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah. You see, they made a decision that I want to encourage you to make right now. They chose to trust the King of all kings. They chose to obey the authority of all authorities. And then right after this occurred, the persecution began to increase in Jerusalem. And years down the road, some 7, 8, 9 years you're into this time from when Jesus went to heaven and ascended to this moment now where Stephen, this wonderful man and servant of God, is preaching the gospel, and then he gets arrested, just like the early days. And they bring him before, and now he's giving his defense as to why he's doing what he does. And he began to preach. He actually wasn't defending himself. He used it as an opportunity to preach the gospel. They so hated what he said. The Bible said that they began to literally grind their teeth. They drug him to the edge of the city, and they stoned him to death, and they murdered him. Stephen never retreated. I really encourage you, go read the book of Acts and watch in Acts chapter 7 how while they're stoning him, he kneels down and he said, Father, do not lay this sin to their charge. He closed his eyes and died before they even had the opportunity to kill him. As they began to stone him, he gave his soul to God. No retreat. Stephen, in the face of death, said, there is no authority, no power greater than our God. It's called the martyr's blood. And a martyr says there's no authority greater than God, even to death. And I want you to understand that you have that same opportunity today to have no retreat. But after Stephen's death, something happened in Jerusalem that they weren't prepared for. In fact, something happened almost in a sense, and I'm not comparing it to this pandemic, but boy, nobody was expecting this to happen. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, now the entire church, not just the leaders, is about to come under intense persecution. In Acts 8, verse 1, right after the death of Stephen, verse 1, Saul, who became Paul after he gave his life to Christ, Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. And then a great wave of persecution began that day, and it swept over the whole church in Jerusalem. And all the believers, except the apostles, were then scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. But Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, now listen to this terminology, dragging out both men and women to throw them in prison. You understand, they weren't just saying, oh, yeah, take, they drug them out. But the believers who were scattered, I want you to get this, they preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Can I tell you the people that were being persecuted in Jerusalem, watching Stephen having been murdered, and then more and more people were murdered and martyred for their faith. They had no idea that God was about to take that horrendous evil and turn it to something good. We're in the middle of a pandemic in this world. It's evil. This unseen evil is trying to steal the lives of human beings and paralyze the world. And just like in the early church, you have a decision to make. You can cower in fear. You can draw back and retreat. Or you can say, there is no power superior to my God. And something very interesting was happening, though. The church was in Jerusalem for 10 years. But right before Jesus left, listen to the instruction he gave them. Because this is, if it happened to them, I'm telling you, this can happen to you and it can happen to me. Right before Jesus left in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, listen to what he said. He said, but you, after I leave, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. I remember that word, everywhere. You will tell them in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. But 10 years had passed since Jesus had said this to them after his ascension. And they never left Jerusalem. They never went to Samaria. They never went to Judea, and certainly not beyond there to the othermost parts of the earth. But when this great persecution happened, what they thought was happening that was going to create evil, you have to understand, the people that were fleeing for their lives didn't feel like they were honoring and obeying God at the moment. They were trying to, literally, so they don't get arrested, they don't get put in prison, that they literally aren't murdered, and they escaped. But what the enemy didn't know is that when he began to persecute the church, he dispersed the church. And everywhere they went, they began to preach the gospel. And I want you to know from that day to this, the church has never gone back to Jerusalem only. It has circled the globe. And the message of the gospel has gone around the world over and over and over again. And you, like the early church, we get to decide who we give our allegiance to. We get to decide whether we advance with our God or whether we retreat in the face of fear. You know, there was another time in our nation about 20 years ago where this entire nation was paralyzed. And for most that are watching this today, you'll remember September 11th, 2001. Some may be a little young to actually remember that day intimately. But for those of you who do, you remember the exact place you were when you found out what was happening. And our nation became paralyzed with fear. We woke up that beautiful September morning feeling peaceful in our nation, feeling safe. And that safety went away in a moment. Now, what was interesting to us as a church, we were in a little building on the other side of Cranberry we had built, about 15,000 square feet. And God, I knew, had called us to touch this region, to touch the Northeast, and actually touch the world out of this wonderful place called Cranberry Township. And we had bought land, in fact, the land that this property right now that this church is on, we bought it in June of that year. And we were about to launch the actual campaign to raise the funds to make the next steps to buy this, pay off this land, and build these buildings and to reach out. And right after that was in, listen, we bought the land in June and we are about to launch the program where we're all going to make our commitments in September. And then this horrible thing happens. I got phone call after phone call, call after call after call, and here's what they said. Now, we're not going to move forward. You're not going to go forward as a church and try to build now. I mean, now's not the time to do that. And I even got contacts from here within the township of Cranberry, and they were doing their very best. They weren't being rude or unkind. They simply said, look, with what's happened, I assume you all are on hold. And what happened, that was a Tuesday morning, September 11th, when that weekend came and people came out of the woodwork to come to church at that moment. I got up and I told our church this very simple truth. I promise you as your pastor, the day that I let demon-possessed terrorists who take planes into buildings that are now burning in hell forever, direct the operation of the kingdom of God. And I retreat, and we retreat as God's people, is the day you put me in a coffin. We will not only settle and stop and wait and ask for permission. We're moving forward even more aggressively. Because this was in 2001. This property was raw, wasn't even developed. I stood in front of our church because you walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter how you feel. You give your allegiance to your God. And I remember that day like it was today. And you could feel the fear in the room. I felt the same fear. But you get to choose whether you retreat or not. And I said, we will not only build the buildings that are there, we will do what God's called us to do. We will touch this region. We will touch this, literally the entirety of the Northeast as I began to proclaim it. And out of my heart, we will build on that land. We will impact our region and we will impact the entirety of the Northeast. We're going to touch the world from that place. And we as a church just burst from that point forward. Now, did circumstances change? No, the economy tanked. Everything stopped. But can I tell you that when you walk with God, remember this. This is so important. Please get this. There is no power more superior than our God. That's why Jesus said, when you walk with me in my kingdom, don't draw back. Don't retreat. I'm going to advance. Do you realize God doesn't back up for anything or anyone? And when you walk with him, neither do you. And you say what God says, and you act like God's word is true. You act like God is who he says he is. And when you do, you will experience the supernatural power of God in your life. Don't wait for fear to give you permission to live your life. Don't wait for the circumstances around you, the media, or even the government to give you permission to live your life differently. And I don't mean disobeying some of these reasonable social distancing things. I don't mean that. I'm talking about in your heart. That we will go forward, our family, our life, we will go, we will step up out of this, not backwards. I'm not hiding in a cave. I'm going to advance in the name of Jesus. And I can just remember that day over and over again. I will not, as your pastor, let a demon-possessed terrorist govern the call of God on this church. And this pandemic is nothing to our God. And it will have no impact on the way that we will proceed as a church and the way you should proceed in your relationship with God and the purpose of your life. Now, as a church, we've always reached out. In fact, last year, through Kingdom Builders, we gave outside of our church over $1.5 million into world missions, into expanding the kingdom of God in our own nation and developing of Christian leaders. So we've always been a church that reached out. But this pandemic, similar to what happened in the book of Acts, has taken us farther out of our Jerusalem into a greater multiplication, into a greater effectiveness as a church. When everybody except those who are essential services and those in the medical profession are hunkered down, because that's what we have to do, that's what we're asked to do. And please know we're praying for everyone who's in those essential services as they risk their own well-being for us. Can I tell you this? That in the middle of all this, Victory Family Church has exceedingly done more ministry at a scale that there's never a time in our history that's even close to it. We have literally fed thousands and thousands and thousands of hot meals in Newcastle. Through the Help Your Neighbor program, we have given thousands and thousands and thousands of bags of groceries away, not just here in Cranberry and in Newcastle, but all around the region. We're serving like we never served before. There is no retreat in us because there is no superior power to our God. Do you know churches around the world are doing the very same thing? You would think at this time where people would be kind of being pushed in and churches are being maybe marginalized because of our inability to meet together, just the opposite's happening. And I want you to know that as your pastor, this church will not retreat. We are only going to expand our reach. We are going to expand our reach in Cranberry. We're going to expand our reach in launching new campuses. We're going to expand our reach in continuing to plant churches and help to plant churches in the Northeast. And we're going to expand our reach in the city of Newcastle. Let me let you know something coming down the road. As I've prayed about Newcastle for Michelle and I, as we've prayed over that city, God has so strongly put this in our heart, and it's been in our heart for years. In fact, what I'm about to tell you has been in Michelle's heart in prayer for probably well over a decade. in the city of Newcastle. He said, when will this happen? How will it happen? I don't know. But we are going to launch and build what we're going to call, and is called throughout the world, a dream center. We'll have a building, and in that building, there'll be a medical clinic, and it'll be free. In that building, there'll be food that'll be able to be given away. In that building, there'll be ongoing help to help support the education of the next generation. So how's that all going to happen? Oh, I don't know. What's it going to cost? I don't know. It's my job to obey. It's not my job to figure that out. But here's what I do know. If you're a doctor or a nurse in this congregation, God may tap you on the shoulder, and you may help lead in that wonderful dream center. If you're an educator, if you're a teacher, you may be able to help us develop and work through the programs to help the students in that area. Because Newcastle is a city in terrible, terrible distress. And every one of us are called, every one of us are called to live beyond ourselves. I promise to do my best as your pastor to lead you as a church into expanding the kingdom of God and advancing with our God and have no retreat. But you have to choose, as do I personally. Are you going to stay in your Jerusalem, if you will? You see, I want you to know that 9 out of the 12 apostles died outside of Jerusalem. 2 of them were actually martyred in Jerusalem before the dispersion actually was fully done. 2 of them had already been killed. And now, here we find 9 of the 12 living outside and dying outside of Jerusalem. 9 of the 12 died between 100 miles and 3,100 miles outside of Jerusalem. Now, the early church, just like us, you can get stuck in your Jerusalem. They didn't retreat away from God, but they also didn't advance with what God told them to do. He said, get out of Jerusalem. Go to Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth and preach my gospel. But they were there for 10 years. You know, can I ask you a question? Did you ever come to a place in your life where you're stuck? And situations like this could help get you stuck. And you just don't, how do I make my next step? What do I do? Because I can tell you 10 years goes by like that. They would have never said the day Jesus said that 10 years later that they wouldn't have taken a next step. If you're going to get out of the Jerusalems of your life, then you, like me, and we as a church are going to have to honor God, going to have to obey God and do what he's called us to do. So how do we do it? How do you take next steps and get out of your personal Jerusalem? Maybe it could be in your marriage. Maybe you're stuck, but there's next steps you can take. There's so many areas of your life that there are next steps you can take. And let me tell you one. When we're able to come back together, I want to encourage every one of you to actually make coming to church the priority it should be in your life. God, in fact, tells us that we should come together on the first day of each week and make him first. If anything this pandemic has done, it's made us realize that it's very easy to take for granted the ability to join together. And as God's people, we are called to come together. In fact, the book of Hebrews says, do not forsake assembling together as some do. And when you see Christ's return approaching, he said, gather together even more. Why? So we can go out together and do the work of God unfettered. You know, you can right now get involved helping your neighbor. You can serve. You can come and begin to serve people as we do the Help Your Neighbor program, dropping off food and distributing food here in Cranberry. Every one of you can do that, have that in your heart. So I don't know what I have in my heart. Well, then just get busy doing it. Come, look on our website and go on the serve opportunities and get busy serving beyond yourself. It's so important that you understand that you can right now start a small group. And you can join a small group. So how do we do that? We can show you how to do it. We have our small groups now available where you can do them through Zoom calls. Don't isolate yourself. You may have to be isolated because of the current environment, but you don't have to be isolated in your soul. You don't have to not reach out. Call people in need. Encourage people. If you have an elderly neighbor or somebody that you know may not have family, give them a call. Check on them. Go buy them groceries. Live beyond the fear. Fear will tell you, just give it some time. And 10 years of your life will be gone. 20 years of your life will be gone as you wait for fear to give you permission. You remember this about fear. It's a moving target. It never gives permission. It always gives more information on how to drive you backwards. Serve Day is coming up in July 11th, when we by the thousands will go out and serve our community. Are you going to be a part of Serve Day? Are you going to lead a project? What are you waiting for? Let me ask these questions as I pray for you. How far from your Jerusalem are you going to impact with your life? How far from your Jerusalem, that is the place where you feel where you've been hemmed in and not taken your next step. See, the church didn't take their next step. They didn't go to Samaria and Judea. They stayed in Jerusalem. What's your Judea? What's your Samaria? What's your uttermost part of the earth? How far from Jerusalem are you going to choose to live with the impact of your life? How far from Jerusalem are you going to obey God and live for other people? How far from Jerusalem are you actually going to die? What do I mean by that? Because this life comes and it goes. When your life ends and my life ends, how far from Jerusalem do you want to be? I want to encourage every one of you, go all in for God. Go all in for God. And for those of you perhaps that have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to pray for you. I want to give you the opportunity first to make the most important eternal decision you will ever make. And that's to give your life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who gave his life for you. Right where you're at, whether you're alone or with people, I'm going to ask you to be reverent right where you are. Just bow your heads and close your eyes and let God do something great in your soul right now. If you're a person that maybe you know the Lord and God's dealing with your heart, I've got to get out of my Jerusalem. I'm praying for you to take your next step. But perhaps you're here and you're watching this and you're listening to this and you don't know if you've ever given your life to Christ. I didn't ask you if you're religious or a good person or baptized as a baby or confirmed in a church. None of those things are bad, but none of those things make you a Christian, including this church. Have you ever invited the living Christ into your heart? He turns no one away. And that's the first advance you have to take if you're ever going to know intimacy with God, because your sin must be paid for. Either you will pay for it or you'll receive the payment of a Savior. If you want to receive Christ today, a living Christ into your sin-stained life, he turns no one away. If you want to invite Jesus into your heart, I want to ask you to pray a prayer with me. And I want you to pray it out loud where you hear it. Now, you may be in the room with other people, so I'm going to ask everybody, even if you've prayed this prayer before yourself and you've invited Christ into your life, to pray it out loud with those who are with you, just to give people that kind of cover and not feel isolated. And so if you desire to receive Christ into your heart, let me pray for you. Repeat these words after me. These are not some dead religious prayer words. This is the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God coming into your life and making you new. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, pray it where you hear it. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I have sinned and I need a Savior. Jesus died and he paid the debt for my sin. So I open the door of my heart. I open the door of my life. In Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be the Savior of my life and the Lord of my life. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin debt is canceled, and when I die, I am heaven bound because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. I pray today that there's no retreat in you. I pray today that you take your next steps. So glad you came to be with us. So glad that you let God do something great in your soul today. I'm going to turn this over to our hosts, and they have some important information for you. God bless you. Look forward to our next time together. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.